Ask anyone about Oscar Peterson, and you're likely to hear about his incredible technique. And it really is incredible. It was that technique that first stunned audiences in 1949 when the Canadian-born Peterson made his American debut in Carnegie Hall. A couple of years later, the crowds were equally floored when he sat down and played the ballad Tenderly. In that period, his range began to assert itself. And it has since then, in the course of his extraordinary career, playing alone, with his own trio, and with every great jazz musician alive or dead, including Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, Coleman Hawkins, Dizzy Gillespie, Stan Getz, Count Basie, and all the rest. Peterson will be 75 on August 15th. And though he seems not to care very much about his age, he is a musician with a sense of history. He's seen a lot of pianists come and go in his day, and he's admired many of them.
You had Earl Garner, Teddy Wilson, Hank Jones, Barry Harris, Milt Buckner. My God, it was just unbelievable. Bill Evans came in later on.
There was even Vladimir Horowitz, whom Peterson visited backstage after a performance. And on that occasion, somebody snapped a picture, Horowitz gesturing to a smiling Peterson.
When that picture was taken, he was busy telling me that he's a jazz player. He said, I play jazz. I love jazz. You know, who am I to dispute Vladimir Horowitz? He was an idol of mine, so I believed him.
So Peterson idolized Horowitz, but also the blind jazz pianist Art Tatum, and the pianist-turned-crooner Nat King Cole, both of whom he later befriended. And in a way, Peterson merged the gifts of those three men, the staggering virtuosity of Horowitz, the harmonic invention of Tatum, and the relaxed polish of Nat King Cole. But ask Oscar Peterson about his trio, his collaborations, his long years of playing with other musicians, and he talks not about harmony, but about discord. His famous recording made at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in 1956, for example. What made those sessions so spectacular?
Hungry group. I think everybody came in hungry. As a result of that, everybody wanted a part of that evening for their own, which is the way it should be. If you have great soloists in a group, that's the way it should be. And each one decided that when I get my shot, I'm taking it. And they did, as I tried to. That's the way a group becomes a musically competitive group within itself. It's a competitive thing every night. Every single night. The first night that Barney Kessel came in my group, he wiped up the stage with me. Didn't do it the second night, though. It's the difference. You see, I mean, I'll make him think about coming to work tomorrow night.
Peterson once said, if the only way I was going to make it happen was to frighten the hell out of everybody pianistically, then that's the way I was going to make it. And he did frighten everybody, and he certainly did make it. As for the source of this frightening technique, fueled by competition though it may have been, it was the work, the obsession.
I was obsessed with trying to gain a foothold into an area of comfort, executionally speaking, and I didn't want the technical aspect of the instrument to interfere with what I was thinking conceptually. So I spent a lot of time trying to give myself a foothold into the field of improvisation. Someone asked me, he said, what are you thinking, the famous question, what are you thinking about when you play? I said, I don't know, the next idea, I guess. And they couldn't understand that. But when I get an idea to play something, once I come up with a phrase within myself, it's already rehearsed inside of me, let's put it that way. This is being done the odd time at breakneck speed. So four bars can go by like a freight train passing a hobo, right? I'm not thinking about this four bars. That's already been transmitted to my fingers. I'm thinking about what are we going to connect that with. And that's, I think, what's difficult for many people to understand about jazz. Especially when they hear the breakneck tempos of people like Dizzy and Art Tatum and yours truly and different people have played at. And they just don't believe that you can play there without this all being pre-rehearsed thing. I'll play this here. If I get to that, I'll play that there. It doesn't work like that. I play along the minute. That's the way I play. And the odd thing about, and the very human thing about jazz is that same sequence that makes me react this particular way today at this moment, if I come across that tune, maybe later in the day, never mind tomorrow, my reaction may be totally different.
So what is it that keeps a jazz pianist like Oscar Peterson going at 75? It's the jazz itself, the improvising, the technique he maintains to stay in that comfort zone so he can endlessly explore the keyboard.
That is exactly what has helped to make jazz, is that people are listening to the emotional reactions of these various players as they are confronted with these various tunes. And that's what you are listening to. You're listening to them saying, this is the way this tune affects me tonight. At this moment.
Oscar Peterson is touring Europe this summer and has just released the Oscar Peterson CD-ROM, available from PG Music in British Columbia, Canada. It reveals every detail of his art, craft, discography, biography, including the fact that his 75th birthday is this Tuesday. And while some of us are celebrating it, he's working.
I don't know. This is another birthday to me.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.